We're going to go to Galatians 3 this morning, and as we do, let's pray and ask God's blessing over His Word today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank You for Your blessing. Your Word is anointed. And so we thank You as we share Your Word today that that anointing removes burdens. That anointing destroys yokes. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that every heart would be open to receive Your Word today. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that any distraction that would keep anyone from hearing or receiving Your Word today would be nullified and brought to naught. And I thank You, Father, in Jesus' name, that Your Word will produce fruit today. And I thank You that You confirm it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Galatians 3 this morning. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, we'll begin here. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then we'll skip down to verse 26 in the same chapter. And he says this, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise God. These verses are obviously from the book of Galatians. And this is a letter. The book of Galatians is a letter that Paul wrote to the followers of Jesus in a region called Galatia. Galatia wasn't a city. Paul wrote the book of Ephesus, and that was to the churches in the city of Ephesus. He wrote the book of books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians are letters to the churches that were in the city of Corinth. But Galatia was a region made up of multiple cities, and among them were Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And we're going to look at what happened in one of those cities a little bit later on. But these people were Gentiles. They were this region that they lived in was a Gentile region. These were Gentiles that he was writing to. They were not Jewish. And Paul had come to them before writing the letter to them. He had come to them preaching the gospel, and they had received it. They'd gotten saved, and they received his message. And then after Paul left, other people came in and began to teach these Gentile believers that, no, you've got to keep the law of Moses, and you've got to be circumcised in order to really be saved. And so Paul was writing to them to correct this error. That no, you don't have to be circumcised. No, you don't have to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. You've been saved by faith. You have heard the gospel and you received the gospel and you believed it. In fact, he writes in another verse in that letter, in that book, and he says, let me ask you a question. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And of course, the answer is the hearing of faith. And he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to try to be made perfect in the flesh? And so he was correcting that error and that false teaching that had come to them, saying, no, you've got to be circumcised and you've got to keep the law of Moses. You've got to work your way into this salvation. And Paul said, no, that's not the way it works. So he tells them here in verse 13, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise God. All of us, Jew and Gentile, all of us who believe from the curse of the law. We're going to look at that specifically in a moment here. And through faith, he tells them, you're now heirs to all the promises of God that he made to his people. Praise God. He says he's redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. How? He said, through faith. Amen. Through faith. And then he tells them in verse 26, you're all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Yes. And he goes on, he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no distinction. In other words, In other words, we all have the same standing in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. We all have the same standing. Male and female have the same standing in Christ. Amen. Jew and Greek have the same standing in Christ. No matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, we have the same standing in Christ. That's the great unifier. I said that's the great unifier. The world needs to hear this message today. Amen. That in Christ we're unified. Amen. In Christ we have the same worth, the same value, the same standing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so so I want to look specifically today, though, about this in regard to healing. And first of all, he says we're included in these promises. In fact, let's look at verse 29. He says, if you're Christ's, in other words, if you belong to Christ, that's possessive, all right? That apostrophe there means possessive. If you are Christ, in other words, if you belong to Christ, do you belong to Christ? Yes. Well, if you've received Him, if you've made Him the Lord of your life, then you belong to Him. And if you belong to Him, then you're Abraham's seed. No matter if you started out in Lystra or Iconium or Derby or Cumming, Georgia, or wherever you're from. Amen. No matter what your background, if you're in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Amen. Amen? Because Christ is Abraham's seed. Yeah. And when you got saved, you got placed in Him. Yeah. Amen? And so if you're in Him, then you're Abraham's seed. And as a result of that, you're an heir according to the promise. All the promises that God made to His people, we fall heir to through Christ. Amen? Everybody with me today? All right, so let's look at, and again, I want to focus today especially on healing. And so let's look at one of these promises about healing. This is a promise that He made to them shortly after they came out of Egypt. And they're just becoming a nation, and God is just revealing Himself to them. In fact, Moses had to ask Him, who are you? When God appeared to him in the burning bush, and He said, I want you to go and deliver my people. And He says, well, who are you? What shall I tell them that your name is? He said, tell them I am. And then he began to expound on that and expand that as he went through. And here he tells them, I am your healer, Jehovah Rapha. Yeah. And then another time he revealed himself as their provider. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am Jehovah Reah, your shepherd. Amen. I am Jehovah Nisi, your victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here, though in Exodus 23, verse 25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water. Now, I believe it's important to eat right, and I try to do that most of the time. Amen. But it's even more important, I said it's even more important to have the blessing of the Lord over your bread and water. And to acknowledge and appropriate that. Amen. I'm not saying don't eat right. I think we should. We should take care of our bodies and be responsible that way. But it's more important to invoke this blessing over your life. He says, I'll bless your bread and your water. I'll bless your food and drink. Amen? Do you invoke that blessing over your food daily? You should. Father, when you pray over your food, and I hope you do, you should say, Father, thank you. See, our prayer over our food, it's not just a ritual. It shouldn't be. We should be invoking this blessing as we pray over our food. Father, thank you that you promised to bless my bread and water. So I thank you that your blessing is over my food. And then he says, I'll bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Invoke that. Claim that at every meal. Amen. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Amen. Now, this promise was made to the Jews. It was made to the nation of Israel as they came out of Egypt. But again, if we belong to Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and we're heirs according to this promise. Aren't we? Yes. Come on. Amen. Amen. We fall heir to this blessing. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. We could look at many, but we'll just, for the sake of time, just look at a couple here today. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 14, he said, you shall be blessed above all peoples. Well, is that true for us today? Huh? Amen. Well, amen. Why don't you sit like it? Amen. Why don't you hold your head like it? Why don't you act like it? Amen. We are blessed above all peoples. Amen. Amen. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Look at this, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you what? All sickness. Oh, come on, let's all get on the same page here. The Lord will take away from you what? All sickness, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. So he says, you'll be blessed above all peoples. He says, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Amen. And so since we're in Christ, this promise is ours. This blessing is ours. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to this promise. Right? Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy 20, we'll go to Deuteronomy 28. And what I want to get to here, remember our opening verse says, Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. So sickness, we're going to find out, sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. Amen. I said sickness is a curse, not a blessing. Well, Pastor, doesn't God use it? No, it's a curse. It's a curse, amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And over the next few verses, the next 13 verses or so, 12 verses, he then lists all the blessings that they would enjoy. And then we get to verse 15, and he says this, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So this statement and what follows in the next several verses are what we call and what we know as the curse of the law. This is where it's defined. This is where it's enumerated. This is where it's listed, the curse of the law. But now remember our text. Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise God. Now, in reality, we have to say this. In reality, the curse is active in the earth, and it has been ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and Satan became the god of this world, basically Adam and Eve opened the door up to the devil and said, come on in. And so from that day on, that curse has been active in the earth. It's not like God was going to create bad things. They were already in the earth from the fall of man. But by obeying God and by following His commandments, the children of Israel would live under a canopy of God's protection. Amen. And His blessing. But by failing to follow His law, what they would do is they would take themselves out from under that canopy of protection where the curse is operative and where the curse is active. All right. That's really what was taking place. And that's really what was happening. And they would then become subject to the curse. Jesus affirmed that. And we understand this too. This is something that you need to know, if you don't know this, is that the Bible is progressive revelation. And what does that mean? It means we get a clearer picture of God and His plan and His role and what He does, as well as getting a clearer picture of Satan and what he does. We get a clearer picture of it in the New Testament than we have in the Old Testament. Is the Old Testament picture accurate? Absolutely. It's just clearer in the New Testament. Amen. Amen? Yeah. You ever watch old, especially true with sports, sometimes they'll show a replay of a classic game from the 70s or 80s, and you'll watch that. And did you ever notice how grainy and poor the quality is of the, of the picture compared to now? 4K, it's not only 1080, we got 4K now. Your eyes can't even see that sharp. but it's not as clear. It's accurate, it's true, but it's not as clear as what we have now. And the same is true with the Scripture and the revelation of God. As we move into the New Covenant and the New Testament, we find a clearer revelation of God and a clearer revelation of the devil. And Jesus said this in the New Testament, bringing us this clearer revelation. He said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief. Who's the thief? Satan. You're right. The thief, Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus said, I'm the one that's bringing life. Satan is the one out stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen. That's the clear revelation that we find in the New Covenant. And then Peter echoes the same in Acts 10:38. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who?
The
by the devil, for God was with him. We find out that Jesus is the healer and Satan is the oppressor, and that sickness and disease come from the devil. It's satanic oppression. That's what sickness and disease is. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. Now, and just continuing this thought, let's go to Luke 13. We're going to come back to Deuteronomy in a moment. But let's look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a, notice this, she had what? A spirit of infirmity. Well, that was not the Holy Spirit, I promise you. Where'd that spirit come from? It was a demonic spirit. It was an evil spirit, right? Amen. She had a spirit of infirmity for how long? 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And Jesus said this, commented on her healing. He said this in verse 16. He said, ought not this woman, look at this now, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. He said that in response to the Pharisees complaining because he had healed someone on the Sabbath. And he said, oh no, she had a right to be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham. I said she has a right to be healed. Jesus revealed that she's got a right to healing. She's got a right to be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham. Remember Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You're a son of Abraham. If you're male, you're a daughter of Abraham. If you're female, and as a result, you've got a right to be healed, just like this woman had a right to be healed. She ought to be healed, Jesus said. And notice he reveals this, whom Satan has bound. Who bound her?
Satan
had bound her. She was bound by Satan. She had a right to be healed. And so Jesus did the work of God and healed her. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, let's go back now. Just wanted to clear that up. God's not putting sickness on people. Amen. The devil is. And so we need to understand that as we go back in the Deuteronomy, which is an accurate picture, but not the clearest picture of the working of God. Okay? Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Deuteronomy 28:21. All right. Again, he's talking about the curse. He said, all these curses are going to come on you and overtake you if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God. And he mentions some in verse 21. He says, the Lord will make, literally, what he's worded there is the Lord will allow. It's not causative. God's not causing it, but God is allowing it. If you move yourself out from under his protective canopy of healing and blessing, if you move yourself out from under it, the curse is out there, and he's going to permit it. He's going to allow it. There's nothing he can do about it. You've chosen to disobey him. That's what he's saying. Are y'all with me? All right. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And again, this should have been translated in the permissive sense rather than the causative sense, because there was very little revelation of Satan in the Old Testament. We only have, I think, three times that Satan is even mentioned in the Old Testament. And this is not one of them here. And so it's sounding like the Lord's doing it, but in reality, the Lord is allowing it because they're getting out from under His protection and care. Okay, are y'all still with me? Okay, all right. Now, so the good news is this. When we read this, what we can do now in the New Testament is we can overlay Galatians 3:13 on top of this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is the curse of the law right here. The plague clinging to you until it's consumed you. Consumption, fever, inflammation, severe burning. All these diseases and all these afflictions, Christ has redeemed us from. Amen? Praise God. Now, let's keep reading. There's a lot of other ones that we could mention. But we'll just cut to the chase and go to verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you or allow upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. This is the curse of the law. He talks about great and prolonged plagues. He talks about serious and prolonged sicknesses. I thought about, when I read that, I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said she had been sick for how long? 12 years. She had suffered and she was not getting any better, but she was getting worse. She had a serious and prolonged sickness. But thank God, the Bible says she heard about Jesus. And she came and she touched the hem of His garment because she said, "If I touch His clothes, I shall be made whole." And the Bible says that healing power went out of Jesus and into her, and she was healed. She got redeemed from that curse that day. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, again, he says here in verse number 61, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law. He lists a lot of them. He mentions a lot of them. And then it's almost like he's saying, okay, in case I forgot any, in case I failed to mention any, every sickness and every plague not written in this book of law. The point is this. All sickness and all disease are under the curse of the law. All sickness and all disease can fall under the category of the curse of the law. The problem for the children of Israel was this, though. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep it. They didn't have the ability to keep it, so they ended up oftentimes out from under God's protection and suffered sickness and disease. That's why Galatians 3:13 ought to be and is such glorious good news for us today. Christ has redeemed us. Let's put it back on. There we go. Thank you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Jesus hung on a tree, hung on the cross. That's what it's talking about. When He hung on the cross, He was fulfilling that scripture from the Old Testament which says, "Cursed is the man who is hung on a tree." He did it. He hung on the tree and He bore my sin and He bore your sin. And He took the punishment for us. He became a curse for us. And in so doing, He redeemed us from the curse of the law. So no matter, listen. No matter what sickness, what disease, what affliction, what infirmity, we'll say, "Well, Pastor, this is genetic. My grandparents, my grandmother had it. My mother had it. And now I have." I don't care. No matter what affliction, no matter what disease, no matter why the doctor said you have it, we can overlay Galatians 3:13 on top of it and boldly declare and boldly proclaim, "I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, I'm redeemed from this sickness, this condition. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I want to read. I hope you have a copy of Health Food. I am so enjoying it. Are you enjoying it? Brother Hagin really kept us in suspense this week, didn't he? Took him 5 days to tell one testimony. I wanted to read ahead and say, what happened? What happened to that couple that came to him and said they'd been listening to him on the radio, but they said if it's the will of God, pray that God give us faith to be healed. And he had to straighten them out and straighten their thinking out. I kept thinking, come on, get to the point here. But anyway, I want to go back and share something with you out of this that applies to what we're talking about today. And he talked about Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, and we actually used to have some of her books here in our bookstore. Does anybody have any of Lillian B. Yeomans' books on healing? And we used to have some here. I need to get some of those back in. But here's her testimony. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, and she was born June the 23rd, 1861, 100 years and one day before I was born. All right. But she was a medical doctor. She was born and raised in Canada, then moved to the United States. Her mother and father were doctors, and her grandfather had been a medical doctor too. In her mid-40s, Dr. Yeomans practiced medicine in a large New York hospital. She began to take stimulants and narcotics to energize her and eventually became a dope addict. Other complications set in, and medical science of the day gave her up to die. An older gentleman told her about divine healing. She knew something about medical healing, but she had never heard about divine healing. This older gentleman asked her if she wanted him to pray with her. She said, I'd better pray myself first because I've gotten away from God. I knew God when I was a little girl, but I haven't known him for years. She spent part of the night in prayer and got back on good speaking terms with the Lord. Then the older gentleman prayed for her, and she was healed by divine power. Dr. Yeomans then quit her medical practice and spent the rest of her life practicing, preaching, and teaching divine healing. She also became an ordained Assemblies of God evangelist and minister. Dr. Yeomans and her sister were both doctors and had a beautiful home in Southern California, actually a two-story mansion which they turned into a faith home. They would take patients into their home to get them healed by divine power, not by medicine. They could only handle 4 patients at a time because Dr. Yeomans traveled and taught most of the time. Her sister, Amy Yeomans, was the one who took care of the patients. What did they do to get people healed? They simply taught them from the Word of God. The people were healed by initiating their own healing on the basis of their faith in the Word of God. In Dr. Yeoman's day, tuberculosis was the #2 killer in America. As soon as a patient was healed, the next applicant would be notified to come in as a patient if he or she hadn't already died, because these people were all terminal cases. One particular woman who had tuberculosis was brought in and carried to an upstairs bedroom. Dr. Yeoman sat down by her bedside and said to her, just fold your hands and close your eyes and lie there. Relax and listen. Then she read to her from the Bible. Dr. Yeomans had every scripture on the subject of divine healing marked in her Bible. For 2 hours, she sat next to this woman who had tuberculosis and read those healing scriptures to her. Then, at the end, she read Deuteronomy chapter 28, what we've just been reading this morning, and Galatians chapter 3. She read them over and over again. Then, she just read Deuteronomy 28:61 and Galatians 3:13. Dr. Yeomans told the woman, every waking moment, say, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Tuberculosis is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. Amen. The woman said, but I don't understand it. Dr. Yeoman said, that's all right. You just say what I told you to say. The woman begins saying, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, TB is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. The next morning, Dr. Yeomans and her sister fed their patients breakfast. Then Dr. Yeomans asked this particular woman if she had been saying what she told her to say. She said, "Oh, it seemed like I didn't sleep but 10 minutes last night. I must have said it 10,000 times, but it doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I don't understand it." Dr. Yeomans said, "That's all right, honey. You just keep saying it over and over, every waking moment. If people would work at receiving divine healing like they ought to, it would work for them." Okay. All right. But so many times they only do it half-heartedly and then go on thinking about something else. In that case, it won't work for them. They have to get down to business. Well, on the third day, Dr. Yeomans went to this woman's room again and read scriptures on the subject of healing to her for a solid hour. Then Dr. Yeomans said, "Are you still saying what I told you to say?" She said, "Oh, yes, but it still doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I'm not getting anything out of it." Dr. Yeomans again told her, "Just keep saying it." About 11 o'clock that same day, Dr. Yeomans and her sister were downstairs washing the breakfast dishes when they heard somebody upstairs shouting. They heard running footsteps, so they rushed out into the hall, and there was the woman who had come in only 2 days before. She was rushing down the stairway yelling, "Dr. Yeomans! Dr. Yeomans! Did you know I no longer have TB?" "Yes," she said, "I've been trying to tell you that for 2 days." You see, it got down into her spirit. That's when God's Word works for you. God's Word never fails. That woman initiated healing for herself. All right, so let's do that right now. And you think about whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever condition, whatever affliction, whatever physical infirmity that you may be dealing with in your body. And I want you to say this, and then I want you to name whatever it is that your condition is. And just say it. You don't have to shout it out, but say it loud enough for yourself to hear it, okay? So let's say this. Say, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. Now name your condition. Go ahead. All right. It's a curse of the law. No, we lost about half of you fell off the train there. Let's start over. I'm trying to help you. I said, I'm trying to help you this morning. I just read to you an account of where a woman kept saying it until it got down into her spirit, and we can't even get some of you to say it one time with me pulling you along and leading you. Come on now. I said that in love. According to Deuteronomy 28:61, name your condition now. It's a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have. And go ahead and name your condition. Amen. Let's say it again. Can we do it again? Let's go through it again. According to Deuteronomy 28:61. And name your condition. It's a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have. And name that condition. Amen. Now, I hope you'll take this. I hope you'll take this and you'll continue to apply it and you'll continue to say it and you can initiate your healing. Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and under that curse is all sickness, all disease, all infirmity. And God's not put it on you. God's not wanting you to keep it. It's a curse of the law, and Jesus already did something to take it off of you. Amen. Amen. It's up to you and me to take that, to claim that, to apply that, and appropriate it in our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this, and Mike, come on up if you would. In Acts 14, I had a lot more I wanted to say this morning, but we're running out of time here, so we'll wrap it up right here. In Acts 14, verse 7, this is the first time that Paul went to the region of Galatia, okay? And as you read Acts 14 there, it talks about the cities of Iconium and Derbe and Lystra. And then in verse, they're talking about Lystra. In verse 7 it says, "And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed." I love this. I love this. This is so powerful. So here Paul is speaking. He's proclaiming the gospel in the city of Lystra. And there's a man listening to him proclaim the gospel. And this man is an adult. And he's been lame from birth, crippled from birth. He has never walked. And he hears Paul speaking. And as a result of hearing Paul speak, he has faith to be healed. Amen. From hearing the gospel. Wouldn't you love to have heard that message? A message that was so positive, so powerful, on God's goodness, on God's not only power to heal, but willingness to heal, that a man who's been crippled from birth all of a sudden has faith in his heart to be healed. Amen? All that from hearing what? The gospel. Because it says in verse 7, that's what they were preaching. They were preaching the gospel there. And as that man sat and heard the gospel, faith came into his heart to be healed. See, healing is a part of the gospel. Sometimes we think the gospel is just Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and so call on His name and you can be born again and go to heaven. Yes, that's the gospel and the most important part of it, but the gospel includes healing. That's why we call it full gospel businessmen, Jeff. That's where that term came from. We believe in the full, not just a part of the gospel, but the full gospel. Jesus came not only to save us from our sins, but to heal us from our diseases. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. So he has faith to be healed. And Paul says with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. What do you think Paul was speaking? What do you think Paul was talking about? We know it was the gospel. He had to be saying Christ, what he later wrote to them. In Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All sickness, all disease, this condition that's caused you to be crippled, dear sir, that's a curse of the law. But Christ has come. Jesus has come. He died on the cross and He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You don't have to have that anymore. You don't have to be crippled anymore. You don't have to sit there unable to help yourself and walk around anymore. You can be well, sir. Hallelujah. Jesus already paid for it. He had to be preaching something like that. Amen? Praise God. All sickness, all disease, all infirmity, that's under the curse. But now you're free. That's what he had to be proclaiming. And the man had faith to be healed. And then Paul helped him to release this. You know, you can have faith in your heart and still not be well. Why? Because faith has to be released. Faith has to be released. Faith is released in word and in action. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard about Jesus, faith came into her heart to be healed. We know that because Jesus said later when she was healed, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." It's your faith that did it. Well, she had faith. Faith came into her heart when she heard about Jesus, but she's still sick. What'd she have to do? She began to say, "If I touch His clothes, I shall be made whole." And then she acted. She actually got to where Jesus was at. She started saying it. She said, wait a minute, what am I doing sitting here? If I touch His clothes, I'll be well. I'm going to go get to Him right now. And I'm going to touch His clothes. And she did. And when she touched His clothes, power flowed out from Jesus and into her. He didn't even know she was around. He said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Jesus didn't initiate that healing. She did. With her faith. She initiated. Her faith drew the healing virtue, the healing power out of Jesus and into her body and made her whole. If her faith made her whole, then your faith can make you whole. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's say it again. According to Deuteronomy 28:61. Now name your condition. It's a curse of the law. Come on, come on, come on, guys. Come on. Let's all do it. Can we all do it in here? At least in here. At least in here. And you know, the bolder that you do it, the more authoritative it is. You don't have to blab out loud your condition if you want to keep that private. You can say that quietly or whisper that. But the rest of it, say it boldly. According to Deuteronomy 28:61, name your condition. Now let's pick it back up now. It's a part of the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have. And name your condition. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment.